naked power grab by the Democrats and their attempts to end the filibuster so they can ram through things like S1, HR1, the For the People Act, the nationalization of elections. Just one of their many agenda items to swing the country far left, even though it's not at all what the country voted for. In fact, I think it's fair to say the country voted more red than blue in 2020, tightening the difference in the House. Republicans winning a number of key Senate races they were supposed to lose, according to polling that turns out to be garbage once again. And of course, you've got a lot of Democrats. We have to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, that was discussed by those that created the founding documents of this country at length, by the way. The direct election of the president was discussed after there was a plan to have Congress appoint the president, but then they didn't think there would be separation of the two branches of power. So the Electoral College was born. Michael Maybach is the Distinguished Fellow of Save Our States, the National Popular Vote, the fail and dangers of bypassing the Electoral College. Michael, good to have you here. How are you?
Well, good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. You know, this National Popular Vote Compact, first of all, I don't think it would stand up to review by the high court of this country. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it would fail for a number of reasons. But first, before we get to that, tell the folks what the National Popular Vote Compact is, if they don't already know.
Yes, sir. In 2006, some wealthy executives from California decided that they wanted to eliminate the Electoral College system, but knew 38 states would never pass a constitutional amendment. So they came up with a clever idea, I guess you would say, and that is that state legislatures would pass laws saying that no matter how the people of their state voted, however the national popular vote went, their electors, presidential electors, would be directed by the state government to vote for that person. So, for example, in Virginia, here where I live, if the people in Virginia voted, let's say, for Ronald Reagan, but Jimmy Carter had won the national popular vote, then our electors would be told to vote for Jimmy Carter, despite the wishes of their own voters here in Virginia. Believe it or not, 15 state legislatures and governors have passed and signed the national popular vote, accumulating 196 electoral votes out of the 270 they need. And so it is an effort to go around the Constitution, but it's been stalled this past 12 months in Virginia last year. It was defeated in the legislature, and this year again, and this year in the Maine legislature, the committee unanimously voted to not move it to a final vote. So those are both Democrat-controlled states, and yet their legislators decided not to do it. So it's a threat to the Constitution. We think it's unconstitutional.
Well, I don't, and again, I think it's unconstitutional as well. For example, I live in Michigan. If in 2016 this plan had been in place, Michigan voted for Donald Trump in this state, they would have awarded the Electoral College votes to Hillary Clinton. She would have been elected president. And the problem is, I would have been disenfranchised. Me and the winning side would have been disenfranchised from our votes. And that would have been something that would have ended up in state court, in federal court, in the United States Supreme Court. Because no matter how you dress it up, it is altering the Constitution by sidestepping the Electoral College, which was built in, and then, of course, further defined by the 12th Amendment in 1804. So it's quite clear that what this is an unconstitutional change of the way we elect the president and vice president of the United States. I mean, that's clear to me, but then again, I've been wrong on court cases before. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, number one, the Constitution has something called the Compact Clause, which says that states cannot join together, a minority of states, and try to go around the Constitution or change the normal approach to governing. without a consent of the House and Senate. The Compact Clause was put in there by the founders in 1787 to make sure that three or four large states, they had in mind Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, which had the vast majority of the population at the time, they wouldn't be a cabal and go against the other nine. And this is very clear in the constitutional debates. Number two, Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton ran campaigns based on the current rules, which is the Electoral College. If you eliminate all the votes that Trump and Clinton got in California, Trump won the national popular vote.
That's
Trump
correct.
Trump didn't campaign in California because he didn't think he could win, but he campaigned in Michigan because he thought he could. People would have different RBIs in baseball if there were four strikes instead of three, and I guess you could make that argument, but players swing at balls depending on how many strikes they get, and if you want to change the rules, then all the statistics go away in baseball in terms of past players. So we look at candidates and say, well, gee, the majority should rule. Well, the majority in every state rules. We have 50 majority rules.
That's exactly right. And the fact of the matter is this. I don't want to be told what to do by Chicago, New York, Cleveland, Miami, whatever, because that's the way it would be. And the fact of the matter is the small states would have no stake in anything anymore. To win the presidency of the United States, whether or not you have the popular vote or not, you have to put together a variety of people. You had to put together farmers with people that live inside New York City, along with people that live in the suburbs, along with people that live in challenged neighborhoods. You have to get a variety, a cross-section of America. In order to win the Electoral College, you have to win in different states because Iowa is not like California, and that's not like Alaska, which is not like Florida. I mean, these are all different places. It's a big country. And in order to win the presidency, you have to win a big cross-section of different kinds of people from all walks of life, race, religion, age, gender, all of it. And that's the beauty of the Electoral College. You can't just go in and say to the city dwellers, hey, vote for me, and we got this. It's a brilliant setup, isn't it?
It's the way you keep a country united. And I like to point out to people when I give a talk around the country, Steve, Los Angeles County has more people than 41 of our U.S. states.
Yeah.
So if we want to have just Los Angeles County decide every presidential election, New York City has more people than the state of Virginia.
Well, let me give you something more frightening, and I got to leave it on this note, but if you take the number of members of Congress that California has based on illegal aliens, which is somewhere around five, best guess, because they counted those folks and got members of Congress, the illegal aliens in California have more representatives in Congress than 15 states in the United States. And I'll leave it there. Michael Maybach, greatly think about that for the rest of the day. They just roll that around. Michael Maybach, distinguished fellow at Save Our States. Greatly appreciate you being here, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day. We're going to take a quick break. You don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Presenting great moments in FirstGov.gov history. For years, Americans have turned to FirstGov.gov for their government information. 2000, Mrs. Marilyn Gorman takes online government to new heights, applying for Social Security benefits before breakfast.
And got them. Okay, who wants pancakes?
2002, in what later became known as the download heard round the world, the Duggins of Wichita print their own passport applications in their underwear.
Honey, get dressed. Looks like we're going to Luxembourg.
And 2004, FirstGov.gov astounds Anna Maria Montero of Biloxi by promptly answering all her emails, no matter how often she asks a question about the government.
Sure, the U.S. government can get back to me every time, but that son of mine? Huh.
Make your own great moment. Log on today, FirstGov.gov. It's government made easy.
Are you facing foreclosure? Then come down to Megalow and Partners. We're a mortgage rescue company, and we can help you keep your house. The process is simple. The results are guaranteed 100%. That's the Megalow and Partners promise. Provided you submit to our plans for galactic domination. No, no, I'm kidding. Megalo and Partners, your partner in foreclosure prevention. Stop in anytime.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.